Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Live. Home or away, win or lose, your place for Arsenal sharing views. My name is Chris. I am your host, the piratey bloke. Yes, the one with that picture who was leaked online. Ellis Mel, sleep with one eye open, you fuck. I'm joined tonight by Josh, John and Drew. Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Good evening.
There is not enough alcohol.
Good times. Right, so let's get straight into it. I've got, frankly, better things to do with my life this evening than talk about Arsenal all evening. So it's going to be a whip through. We're not going to mess about. Just going to go straight in at the deep end. Who's going to be most angry? John, line up. thoughts?
What a load of bollocks, really. I didn't get it at all. Yeah, I just thought, why are you starting Giroud? Why is Alexis on the bench? I can see maybe there's an argument for not starting Ramsey because he's coming back from injury and we always complain he gets rushed back too quick, so that's fine. Mesut Ozil's mysterious illness again. Well, yeah, I don't know. That's a different subject. But I think it gave Arsenal the perfect excuse to play three in midfield, which he did. The selection was just weird. You saw Leicester, who, okay, they decided to turn up and play a game, which is an improvement on what they'd done previously, obviously, because Ranieri was sacked when they played Liverpool recently. But what did they do? They sat deep because you know Liverpool are going to press high, and they hit Liverpool on a counter because they leave a lot in space in behind. We played Olivier Giroud up front, who, and it's not his fault, but he hasn't got pace, so he's not going to be able to run in behind Liverpool's defence. You saw in the second half when Danny Welbeck was pushing forward a lot more. I know Giroud was still on at that point, but he was getting in behind. The ball was going to him a lot. That's the thing you need to exploit against Liverpool. It's just made no fucking sense whatsoever. It was clearly the wrong idea. Realised he'd made a mistake and changed it half time, but didn't change it enough, to be fair. I think Giroud just should have come off. There was no point having him on the pitch, to be honest. And that's not, and again, let's not knock in Giroud. That's not his fault. He's just not in for that type of game. We don't know what's gone on with Alexis. Was it punishment? Was he trying to save him for the Bayern Munich game, which makes no sense whatsoever, to be perfectly honest. I don't get it. So, yeah, just complete fucking cock-up from the manager, to be honest. And the thing that's worse about it is that it's, Steve was talking about this and other people as well, it's kind of a lack of respect for the opposition. It's so obvious what you have to do against Liverpool. You see why they do so well against the top six and why they struggle against the teams down the bottom, because teams down the bottom sit deep, hit on the counter, they crowd the box, that kind of thing. And all the top teams play open, and leave them space and don't like being pressured on the ball because they play it out from defence a lot. I mean, did he just not watch the Leicester game? Has he not watched Liverpool at all this season? It makes no sense.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Drew, what was your thoughts on that sort of lineup and what he was trying to do? Because it did look like there was a change of approach at the very least to what we're used to.
I mean, I don't really necessarily know if I agree with the fact that the approach was changed. I could maybe understand why Giroud was playing. You know, maybe you could play just a direct long ball to him to bypass the press that Liverpool were bound to sort of try to rely on, especially through the likes of, you know, Adam Lallana and such. But it didn't seem to really work. I think Giroud had maybe 12 touches all first half. So clearly he wasn't the outlet that we assumed he was going to be. You know, John makes very good points. You know, the fact that overall, this is just one of those another scenario where we're sort of forcing ourselves constantly, always to deploy ourselves the same way, to have the same approach, you know, despite who we're playing against. And it just one stat that's indicative of that is we were talking about it pre-pod. I think it was Xhaka, Coquelin, and another Wobier, Ox combined. Lost possession, I think, 27 or 28 times in the first 35 minutes of the match. So what that's telling you is that we're not adapting to the fact that Liverpool are going to press. It's also telling us that tactically we're not supporting each other. When someone gets on the ball, say Xhaka, for example, there should be at least three other players showing themselves. You know, Monreal, Welbeck, Iwobi, even Koscielny, you could say. So at least four. You know, they should all be making themselves available, especially against a team who are high pressing and they quick press. So if you play against a team who deploys that way, you can play out of it quickly if the options are always available. Once you look up, you should be able to look up and see options there. And that's, you know, Chris, I know that's something that you'll know from coaching. It's the first thing you teach, that when you get the ball, you see the ball, you should be able to look up and see at least one open teammate somewhere who's an option. And, you know, we struggle with that. Just like, it's almost like a simple basic thing that we constantly struggle with, the easiest ways to get ourselves out of trouble. constantly. You know, we had simple mistakes constantly against Bayern. Like we make it constantly just too easy for teams to play against us. And again, it's time and time again, the same formation, the same approach, the same brand of football that is being forced down our throats. If you just learn to be a little bit more flexible in maybe two or three key ways, things like this wouldn't keep happening, but they keep happening. There's only one common denominator. So it's just all too frustrating. I have no idea why Sanchez was dropped. You and I spoke about this again pre-show, that if it's punishment for, you know, maybe Sanchez acting out of line, then fine, because as you and I both agreed, when you coach, even if your best player is acting out of line, you still bench them as you know, as a result. But if it's for some other reason that's not documented, it's not being said, then okay, then we have to wait and see. But you know, I was fine with Giroud. I don't think Coquelin and Xhaka works as a midfield pairing. That's got to stop. You know, and then but I don't think we, even though Welbeck on the left made sense, because our left side, as we saw against Bayern, is weak against pace. I think Welbeck playing there on the left to maybe help Monreal, especially with Mane, because Mane usually reads the riot act against us in his history, not just with Liverpool, but with the Saints as well. But if you look for all three goals came from the left-hand side. Mane scored his goal from the left, and both assists came from the left. So clearly, you know, we didn't even mask our weaker flank as well as we could. So it's just, again, it's just the same mistakes. Like, just, I don't know. So when we're good, we're very good. But when we're bad, it's just a complete shit show. And yet again, it's just a show.
So, John, what did you sort of make of the initial sort of period of time then, the first half? Obviously, went a goal down early. Pretty poor defending. I thought there was a number of occasions where we were not focused on the balls through. It came from a goal kick. Oh, I'm just depressing myself talking about it. Wasn't great, was it? More kind of static defending, more people not picking up their runners. Good finish, to be fair. Any sort of thoughts on that particular goal, how it could have been avoided?
I mean, the team could have defended. That probably would have helped. They could have talked to each other, passed players on. You know, you talk about, obviously it comes from a goal kick, having Giroud up top, and I do get Giroud's point that if you bypass Liverpool's midfield, which is obviously their sort of strongest point, is their sort of kind of front six. I get the idea behind it, but you've got two centre-backs and Emre Can marking Giroud out of the game for the majority of it, so he's not going to win a lot. It comes from our right and, yeah, sorry, from our left-hand side again, which has been a problem all season. Just a comedy of errors. And to be honest, I didn't think, you know, it looked to me like Firmino had a bad first touch, and that's why he had to sort of try and struggle to get out of his feet and hit it into the roof of the net. Just no one picking up and just no communication. You could see it coming as well quite early on. We weren't winning 50-50s. You know, Firmino's winning headers against Mustafi and Koscielny. How is that happening? That's just ridiculous. How is that? He's not an out-and-out striker. I can understand losing a header against, say, Divock Origi or someone like that, a big unit. Firmino's not a big guy. It's not his strong point, heading in the air, you know, things like that. And it was just throughout the game. It was midfielders not tracking their runners, not passing them on. Monreal, Koscielny, Mustafi not communicating. Bellerin as well. Cech is probably one of the few players who's come out of the game with his head held high. For as good as it was to see someone different in front of Monreal, I don't think Danny Welbeck actually covered him particularly well. So maybe the criticism of Iwobi's been a bit harsher in the season. Maybe it's just a tactical thing and they're just told not to bother covering their fullback. I don't understand it, because you know that Welbeck's got the engine and he's got the ability to do that, because we've seen him do it plenty before. It's just a complete fucking mess. And it's so, and we all knew where it was going to come from. We all knew who the danger man was. Drew's already spoken about it, how many times Mane's done this before. It's fucking pathetic.
Okay. Strong words. Drew, what was your sort of thoughts around that first goal? Just to add to that, anything that you would sort of add to what John said there? I mean, you know, it wasn't the greatest start, was it? And it was kind of an early goal, which was the last thing we needed for the confidence element of it.
Yeah, but I mean, can anyone really be surprised? And I don't want to come on the show and just, because it gets boring, doesn't it? Just talking about nothing but all the negatives all the time. But unfortunately, when you're presenting with nothing but negatives, it's the only thing you can really say. It's really hard to pick out a positive. So while, I mean, none of us actively trying to be negative. It's just difficult to find anything to take away from this, honestly. And, you know, I alluded to before, John just, you know, mirrored the same thought that I don't understand how, like, if none of us are professional footballers, but we all understand the game, obviously, to some degree. How can we all sit here and pre-match talk about how the left is going to be a big issue? You know, I guess John said, you know, Mane's, since he's come to the Premier League, Mane has been one of the danger men that's constantly given us issues. You know, and if you can go back, you know, maybe Klopp's gone back and looked at tape for us against Bayern and saw the weaks of our left side, and he's told him to go attack it as he always does. And if all three goals come from that side, you know, it's got to tell you that that's something that maybe they've picked out as a weakness to attack. And then I just don't understand why we can't look at ourselves and then say, this is our weakness. We have to properly address it to shelter a little bit better. And we just didn't do that, you know. And someone before, I think Phil said before in the chat that, you know, you do have to give Liverpool credit, and you do. I think Liverpool are actually very, very good. I don't think you can really pick out one player apart from maybe Klein and Clavin, who are only maybe decent, but everyone else around the pitch actually put in a very good performance. So we were outplayed, but again, this is like the Bayern result. We made it easy for them. I think we had two chances the entire first half. And yet again, it's another example of the first 45 minutes, you come out soft, you know, you don't come out with your front foot forward, you know, to try to really boss again from the outside. Even if you're away from home, you can still do that. You know, you can still put in a better first half performance. And yet again, we're then playing catch up in the second half, and it's just the same thing over and over again. It's just the broken record syndrome where, you know, get completely play off the park first half, come back second half and put in a better performance, and it's still, you know, then we're caught scrambling for a goal later on, and then we go up a goal on a counterattack 3-1. It's the broken record thing. And I think that's the thing that people are most frustrated about, is because every time something like this happens, and someone tweeted to the account before taping, it's that you could literally replay a different result. You get the different top 16 from a different time, and we're saying the same things over and over again. And when that's the reality, something has to change overall. I'm not saying, you know, this isn't a managerial debate, but changes have to be made to everything. Everything has to be changed.
Mm. Set the stadium on fire. And I think I speak for, I think I speak for everyone when I say nobody wants to come out soft on a Saturday, eh, John? And
what?
I said nobody wants
about me again.
I said nobody wants to come out soft on a Saturday.
Sorry.
Just leave that one behind. It's fine. I can hear somebody whining. Is that someone's dog, or is that just the general sort of upset of, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. Is it a squeaky?
That's me. I'm back now.
Hey. Ah, it's Josh. Hello, Josh. Is that you panting in the corner there?
Just crying, whelping, pining.
Indeed. I want to ask you, just on that first goal before we move on to the second goal, I got a freeze frame on my screen here, which I appreciate. Nobody can see, particularly people who are listening to this in delay. But when the goal kick is taken by the world-class Simon Mignolet, Laurent Koscielny goes up for a header. And I think this is where the goal comes from. He goes to win a header just literally on the edge of the centre circle, and he doesn't win it. There are three Liverpool players in advance or in behind Koscielny, and there is only Bellerin. I guess it's Mustafi. Just let me play it a bit here. Yeah, Bellerin, Mustafi, yep. And Monreal behind. So this essentially it's 3-on-3 if Koscielny goes and wins that ball. Is that not just decision making in the fact that your centre back, for me, I don't want my centre back winning the ball on the halfway line. That's the midfielder's job. So why is he coming to win a ball that he's not guaranteed to win?
I think he's one of the better players in the air. He's certainly better than Xhaka or Coquelin when it comes to aerial presence. I think we said the same with Mustafi. They're both great in the air. The biggest problem from that goal, I think, is actually the second phase. Once Koscielny misses it, Bellerin drops in to then cover Koscielny. Koscielny then doesn't go out to cover Bellerin, which is what should happen. Or he forces Bellerin to go, oi, mate, I'm coming back into centre-back. You go back out there and cover. And he doesn't do that. He doesn't say anything, which is a massive problem we've got with Laurent Koscielny. His communication is poor. And that's bread and butter centre back, to cover your man or just at least communicate if someone's come over to cover you. So I've got to put it all down to him, even though he doesn't pick it up. He just doesn't pick up Firmino. And initially, when I first thought it, I thought, what's Bellerin doing so narrow? Then watch it again, realise it's Koscielny that's at fault. So I know he's one of these players that we say, oh, he's heralded. We can never have a go at him like Ozil and Sanchez. he's not immune to criticism, and there he was at fault for that goal.
Speaking of at fault, my God, sorry, I know this is not Arsenal related, but I've just seen, I don't know if any of you saw the Fernando Torres injury at the in the week where he got knocked out. If you haven't seen it, I'll just retweet it now. As a sending off in the Bastia game, I shouldn't laugh, Nicolas Sarov, he gets sent off for a tackle on Vincent Pajot. He nearly kicks his head off. Yeah, do have that, a look at that. It might cheer you up, even though somebody else's dismay shouldn't cheer people up, but still. This isn't going to cheer us up, is it, John? Let's talk about the second goal. I mean, it's another error-strewn goal, isn't it? Let's be perfectly honest. It's another goal that is easily avoided. Liverpool sort of playing with the ball comfortably in their own half. I think the ball goes out to Milner on the left-hand side. Iwobi is tracking Wijnaldum and then doesn't. Wijnaldum gets free, gets into that little pocket of space, pulls it back. Firmino plays it into Mane. Monreal's gone to Lidl or something for the weekend. And Mane, to be fair, it's a very good finish from a player who's, you know, decent. He's decent. I don't think he's the second coming of Jesus like some bin dippers would have you believe, but it's a very good finish. And we're 2-0 down and trailing the game. We're out of the game at that point. So what was your sort of thoughts on the whole process of that goal, how it came about?
Yeah, you pointed out Iwobi. It looks to me like he's either not communicated that he's trying to pass the player on because he's picking up Coutinho after he drops Wijnaldum, or that's the player he goes to because he's with Wijnaldum at first, but then he runs past him. Coquelin and Xhaka are both completely unaware of what's going on behind them. Koscielny is caught in no man's land, standing there between two players, not sure who he's supposed to be marking. Mane's got the back of his, can see the back of his shirt. So either Monreal has got to tell Koscielny, and if he has told him and Koscielny hasn't moved back, there's no point, you know, what's going on there. And then Monreal gets dragged across because Koscielny's not covering his man. Mane's got all the space and time in the world. It's a very good first touch and very good finish, but you just make it so easy. Just the midfield completely not tracking the runners, and the defenders just not talking to each other and getting dragged about all over the place. It was like watching, you know, as nice a move as it was, and I think Drew's right, Liverpool did play very well for large sections of the game, and some of their passing I thought was really impressive, and the sort of one-touch stuff and the flicks and that. But we looked like schoolboys defending again. It was just no team cohesion. I don't like agreeing with people like Rio Ferdinand. I think the bloke's a fucking cunt. He is. I don't think he is. He is a fucking cunt. But why is Rio Ferdinand making legitimate points like Liverpool look like a team who've gone out there with a plan? Arsenal look like a bunch of players who've been thrown together and never played together before. And it's not the first time it's happened this season. It's pathetic. It makes absolutely no sense. You go 2-0 down and you get to half time and he throws Sanchez on, and Sanchez has an immediate impact in the game, which is fantastic and everything. But all it proves is that you've cocked up again and made the wrong decision before the game. And everyone knew you'd made the wrong decision before the start. Klopp and the Liverpool players must have been pissing themselves laughing when they saw that lineup. It's just, I can't be bothered to go into it because it's exactly the same shit I've said every single time we've lost a game all season. It's the same things happening over and over again, and everyone in the chat's heard it, and everyone who's listened has heard it before, and they're fed up with hearing it as well. There's individual players you can pick out for poor performances today, and I'm sure we'll get to them at some point. But the team as a whole was just awful, and the manager set him out that way, and he keeps doing it and refuses to see what he's doing wrong. And until that changes, you're going to get these results over and over again. And every season, you'll get some fans who will get the false hope of thinking, yeah, this is going to be our year. We've got the team. We can do it now. We can challenge. You'll get the more pragmatic fans who think, we might get a cup, probably the FA Cup if it's something, and probably a top four, maybe not this season so much. And that'll be it. I can't get excited to watch the games anymore. You knew exactly what was going to happen today. And that goal was Steve, you spoke about the problems. Like, you're very optimistic, Chris. But even you during the week were saying, this will be an issue. This will be something that we'll need to cover and deal with. And you could see it from the kickoff. And that goal just summed up the game perfectly.
It wasn't great, that's for sure. Josh, have you got anything you want to add to that second goal before we try and scrape together some positives of the second half? I mean, individual errors, team errors, positional errors? I mean, what, or do you have to say actually it's quite a good goal? I mean, I don't know, which sort of camp do you sit in on that one?
I think one of the biggest problems we had was all game, Bellerin was being run at by James Milner, which isn't Bellerin being a problem. That's Ox should be there tracking James Milner, because all day, even when Milner was getting pushed back, it was by Bellerin, not by the Ox, who was on the right-hand side. So that's where that goal comes from, is that overload, because the Ox didn't take his chance that he was given. Would have a Lucas Perez have tracked that? Probably not anyway, because all of us forward players don't like tracking back, apart from Danny Welbeck. But it was just to highlight that problem that we saw it earlier in the season with, you know, calling out Iwobi for not helping Monreal out. We've got the same issue with the Ox, and we need to start pulling, you know, bringing attention to it.
Go out, come back in, Joshy. Your robots have invaded your side again. You just can't win tonight, can you? Drew, do you want to say anything about that second goal before we shift on a gear?
I mean, not particularly, but
that's fine. I don't mind.
But again, I mean, it just goes back to everything we've already been talking about. You know, it's the lack of understanding by players who can see an opposition player get the ball, who steps, who doesn't. You know, who offers support from midfield, who comes back and tracks back. These are things that we seem to struggle with. And again, it was, you saw it in the Bayern game. And again, you see it again today, almost in it's just similar fashion. You know, the goal wasn't similar, but the space being left is always a similar problem. And again, it shows that we just don't communicate. On all three goals, all three of these goals were easily avoidable if there was just communication in the back, whether it be from Petr Cech or it be from Laurent Koscielny, or it be the midfielders telling defenders at the back, as they're behind them already, saying, you know, this man's unmarked. You know, just communication solves most problems in a football match. And if you're lacking in that regard, then it's just, yeah, same old, same old. So, yeah, no need to go into any further, honestly.
No, I agree with you. Let's go into something positive then. Second half, I'll stick with you for this one. The first sort of big chat, well, first incident, I suppose, second half, the side came out looking a lot better, and Giroud had that header that was pretty well saved by Mignolet. I'm not really sure he need to do the highlight reel fly into the air. It was literally a pick up, tap it over the crossbar job for me, but it was signs, at least, wasn't it? Alexis obviously was brought on at half time. We'll come on to that in a second. But it was a better start to the second half, wasn't it, at least?
Yeah, it would. You know, Alexis gives us a visible lift on the pitch. The players look more confident. Giroud had that really, really good chance. It was nice that the one thing I will give in the first half was that we were trying to put crosses in early. The amount of times we've complained this season that we cross the ball when Giroud's not on the pitch and he comes on and then we stop crossing it, we were on the few times we did that today, there were very good balls in, and that ball in by Monreal was just a little bit too high for him, wasn't it? He couldn't quite get over it. Yeah, Alexis just, as soon as he got the ball, we saw Klein didn't want to run forward anymore. So Monreal couldn't get, wasn't getting 2v1'd anymore. It restricted their kind of attacks down that side. And you saw a couple of times when Klein did get forwards that Alexis was a little bit wary to go back with him so we could exploit the space in behind. And he created, I think, the first chance we had in the second half. He just picked the ball up on the left-hand side and put a really, really good ball in for, I think it was Welbeck, attacked it. And I think, I can't remember if we got a corner out of it or Mignolet fucking made a save or whatever. But you could just see instant impact and it just lifted the whole team. And obviously they've gone in at half-time and, you know, we know Arsenal's not one to shout. So I hope the players have dug each other out at half-time and said, you know, we need to up the performance. So I would expect that. And it's kind of a trend we've seen where we started slowly and picked up again in the second half. And you thought Liverpool maybe would drop off a bit because they do press high and they tend to drop off a bit in games towards the end of it. But it was just, why put yourself in a position where you have to come back in a game when you could have started with Alexis and had that threat there and nullified some of Liverpool's threat going forward by having him just on the pitch just does that. So, I mean, I guess that's a good thing. And it's nice to see that Arsenal would change something at halftime. It was the interesting thing for me was that the fact he took off Coquelin more than anything else. I thought he would have taken off Giroud because he looked like he was struggling a little bit with, was it like his groin or hip or something? He was sort of pulling a bit, quite a bit, wasn't he, during the first half. I thought Coquelin was, he was dreadful, to be perfectly honest, in the game. It was noticeable that our midfield looked a bit better then, because Oxlade-Chamberlain, who had been playing in midfield and has probably been one of our sort of shining lights in this run of games where we haven't really performed very well, he's been good in centre mid. And he was shoved out to the right-hand side today for the first half, which was really disappointing for me, because I thought you need someone with energy, you can get around the pitch, and he's the sort of player who can do that, especially against the Liverpool team, who's going to have, you know, Wijnaldum and Lallana, players like that, constantly running. And you could see Liverpool purposefully concentrating on Coquelin every time he got the ball. Lallana, for Liverpool today, and we don't often give credit to the other teams, but he was really good, particularly in the first half. And he was constantly, as soon as Coquelin got the ball, he was on him straight away, because they know, teams know that if you put him under pressure, he's not as confident on the ball, and he's not the best passer on our team, out of our midfielders. So he's likely to give up possession. And that happened quite a few times, and they got a lot of turnovers from that today. So I was pleased that he did that change at least.
Yeah, fair enough. We will touch on sort of individual performances in a second, but Drew, we just want to talk about the goal back, which sort of renewed a little bit of hope at the time. Decent move, Oxlade-Chamberlain picking the ball up central midfield area. Alexis was kind of at the heart of slipping the through ball in. Welbeck got there first, and a very tidy finish past Mignolet. And at that stage, it did appear that game on, 10 minutes into the second half, positives were there. So credit where credit's due, decent goal, wasn't it, to be honest?
It was, and it's funny that Wenger came out and said that, you know, he wanted to be direct, yet he left our most direct player off the bench. That player comes on and is our two most direct players, the result and the goal for Welbeck. So, I mean, the finish was excellent. The little ball from Sanchez was great. And again, it showed that little bit of cutting edge that we were missing up to that point. You know, you can probably not run out of superlatives to throw at Sanchez for his form this season. And it may have or may not have been a different match if he started from the off. But, you know, you see the effect that he does have when he is on. Unfortunately, it was just, you know, maybe we got the goal back, and I just don't think we did enough to push on from there. It's almost kind of like we were just saying, you know, oh, well, we got the goal back, and now we can, like, maybe we have some time to get the second. Like, no, like, go out and get that second quickly. I think that's my gripe with the fact that we pulled back to 2-1, but I'm happy we did. I don't know. It's just, again, it just makes you think that, you know, if the 11 was a little bit different, maybe we could have offered something a little bit different in that same regard in the first half, and maybe it could have been a different match altogether. But I think it just highlights the importance of, you know, when Sanchez is on form and he is playing, it's all just different for us, isn't it? So.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I agree with you. At least the cats don't care. Look at them, look. Absolutely loving life. Sorry, I just realised they were in the shot there. Josh, are you still alive? Josh? Come in, Josh.
Potentially.
Oh, he's there. He's alive.
I'm back.
That's fine. It's a little muffled, but it's better than what's that guy called, John? That rapper man? What's he called?
Oh, T-Pain. Yeah, someone in the chat said you were doing a great T-Pain impersonation. It was quite fun.
It sounds better than Teapot, so, or whatever his name is. So well done, Josh. I'm not deaf to kids, I'm afraid. Sorry. Although I did enjoy Metallica and Lady Gaga yesterday. That was quite different. Anyway, back to Arsenal. There was a, don't shake your head, Welsh. You know you loved it, really. When she grinds,
I haven't seen it. I refuse to watch it. Sorry.
Well, you should watch it. I mean, even if it's late at night and you've got, you know, a little bit of alone time,
it's worth not going to that. Come on.
Okay. You sure? All right. Josh. Emre Can, 76 minutes, already been booked. I know Drew, well, I don't know if Drew will agree with me on this or not. I think Emre Can is dog shit. I have done for a long time, and I really don't understand what all the hype was about. I think he's a very average player, and I think there was a lot better players in the Bundesliga when he signed. But still, that's just my other side swipe at him. But should he have been sent off? And was it the fact that Joel Matip kind of also went in for the challenge that saved him? Because it looked to me like the referee didn't really know who'd made the foul, and that's why he didn't book anyone.
I think there were a couple of issues with the whole situation, but going on the way that the ref had ref the match, I think it was consistent with the decisions he was making, because he only gave out two bookings or maybe three, because obviously Xhaka got booked as well for dissent afterwards. But I'm not sure if it was a second yellow. I think if the ref wanted to be inconsistent in the game, then yeah, sure, he should have been sent them off, because it was a yellow card in any other game. But with the precedent that he'd set for the previous, 77 minutes of the game, then I don't think it was a second yellow from that regard. But what I didn't really enjoy hearing was apparently all the refs this weekend have been up on a piss-up because it was one of the other refs' stag do's. So if there's any dodgy decisions for this weekend, blame that.
There's been a few. From what I didn't see the United game earlier on, but I gather there should have been three reds and no penalties, and yet there was one red and two penalties. So, yeah. And was there another game? There was another game where somebody had a controversial refereeing decision this afternoon as well. So maybe they were.
Apparently, the ref for our game, I can't remember his fucking name now.
Bobby Madley.
Apparently, he wasn't at the stag do. So
yeah, even
one of the one at the Man United game was definitely at the stag do.
Yeah, well, I mean, either way, I suppose it's one of those, isn't it, refereeing decisions that you know, some go for. I thought he was surprised. I was quite surprised that that there was no booking there. And I think I know people are a little bit cheesed off that Xhaka got booked. It was for dissent, so you can't really have any complaints when you mouth off. That's just, you know, whether you're right or wrong, you're going to get booked. So that is what that is. Third goal. John, do you want to just sort of finish us off, if you pardon the expression? From one end, we could have had an equaliser, and then the very next breakaway, Lallana with a fairly decent ball, it has to be said. Held it up long enough and released it into the free open space, and the third goal was tucked away. Game over. So, what annoyed you more, the fact that we dawdled? Because I think Iwobi got the ball caught under his feet a bit, didn't he, when he tried to set up the chance at the other end, and within a flash we'd committed so many men forward. It was the third goal, and that was that.
The third goal, I wasn't as annoyed about, because I think that's more of a case of us trying to push to get the equaliser. And for spells in the second half, I thought we played better. The decision with the referee, I think Emre Can should have been sent off, but I think you're right. In if you watch it real time from the referee's angle, he only gets one look at it. He doesn't get to see it over and over again like we do. And maybe he wasn't sure which one it was. I don't think that excuses the performance of the team. So I'm less annoyed about that goal. I think that's just the typical, you're pushing to get something out of a game, and a team that's well drilled and breaks well, like Liverpool do, you're going to concede that goal late on. So it's annoying again, left hand side, but at that point in the game, it's just one of those things that's going to happen. It's kind of nice, I guess, because I predicted 3-1 and I need the points in the prediction league. So.
I'll have to confess, I did have a bet on of over 3.5 goals, and when it was clear that we weren't going to get an equaliser, I wasn't actually that disappointed with that goal. Sounds awful, doesn't it?
It's just one of those. I don't think you can pick players out for that and stuff, but I think that's just a case of it's very, very late in a game, and you're just going to, you know, just go to. You're trying to get an equaliser, trying to get something out of the game. It's the last couple of minutes, you're scrapping for everything, and you get a bit of a lucky break on the ball. Lallana makes a good pass, and the pass into who was it who made the pass to Wijnaldum? Was it Origi?
I don't know, to be honest.
I think it was Origi.
It was
Lallana
to Origi.
Yeah, that was it. And it was a decent ball from Origi as well. So, good finish from Wijnaldum, you know, under pressure. So. Yeah, fair enough. I don't think there's too many complaints about that goal.
No, agreed. And before anyone gets on my case, no, I didn't bet on Arsenal to lose. It was on over 3.5 goals. And don't get me wrong, I would have much preferred if we'd got 2-2 than 3-1 to money. But still, it's just me.
There is talk in the chat, and I've seen pictures of this. Apparently, Origi was offside when he got the ball. I don't know if anyone else saw that.
His head/torso was offside, but...
So that is an offside under the rules, because you can score with your face.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. can score with your face. Brilliant.
Oh, I've scored with worse before. Yeah, I have witnessed a Sunday League game where someone scored with the end of their cock. I genuinely have saw that. He sort of just pushed his hips forward and just like cocked it in. It was brilliant. But yes, I suppose by theory you can score with any part of your body, can't you? In theory, so never mind. Okay, that's the goals done then. That's the game done, so to speak. I suppose we could talk about a couple of players now, couldn't we? Right, so I'm going to be on a very lonely iceberg with this one. You probably know where this is going, but we'll go there anyway. I'm sick to death of people singling out players. I hear it week after week. At the start of the season, it was Mr. Ramsey. Then it was Monreal for a bit. Now, clearly, it's Coquelin. I see some very intelligent opinions on social media who say that he's very limited. And for the record, I agree with that. I think he is very limited. I see some very intelligent people like our own Dom, for example, is not keen on the partnerships. And I completely agree with him on that one. Whether you blame the manager for that or the player for that, I don't know. What I can't handle are these people that come out and say, just simply throw out things like, oh, he's shit. Oh, he's not a footballer. Oh, he's dog shit. Oh, he's not the best one. People come out with this. We're not winning anything with him in the side. Well, newsflash, people, we already have. Okay, I'll give people an opportunity just to kind of go for the defence, to defend or not defend, if you will. And trust me, we'll cover some other players as well. John, I know you're not a fan. Is it the way he's deployed? Is it him as a footballer? What is it that you are not keen on?
This season, the majority of the time, it's been the way he's been deployed. Someone does make a very good point in the chat that you did come out the other night and say Gabriel wasn't good enough for Arsenal. I tend to agree with you, Gabriel. I don't think he's good enough for Arsenal. I also don't think Coquelin is good enough for Arsenal either. When he was just covering and he's standing in front of the back four and he plays next to Santi Cazorla, fine. Every other player in midfield he's been played next to, it doesn't work.
I agree with that, by the way.
That to me says he's very limited. His passing isn't good enough. And even today, he was the deepest player a lot of the time in the first half, and he was awful. He gave the ball away a lot. He was giving away stupid fouls. He got booked on the halfway line for, I know he pulled the guy's shirt, and yes, it was a foul and it was a yellow card, but there was no need to foul him there. He was the wrong side. He's not tracking players. He's not the only player today, by the way. He was awful. We're just talking about Coquelin at the moment. But he's just not good enough. When he came in, and we got him back from Charlton, where he was on loan, it was exciting because it was the first time we'd had a midfielder in a very long time who actually went in and crunched into tackles and was a bit of a scrapper and that kind of thing. So very, very exciting. So people get overhyped about it. Of course they do. I was very excited when he came into the team and putting those performances like the Man City one and stuff like that. I was like, wow, he's a completely different player from when he left. But he's just gone way downhill. And he's getting played over and over and over again. He's not good. He shouldn't be in the team. There's no excuse for it. I don't get it. He wouldn't be in Liverpool's team. You talked about Emre Can. I think Can's a decent player, to be fair. But he wouldn't get in the Liverpool midfield, who are a team that we should not only be finishing above, we're apparently miles better than, according to most people.
Do you honestly believe that? Genuinely, you don't think he'd get in Liverpool's midfield now? Ahead of Lucas and
Can? No way.
Do you not? Okay.
No, well, Lucas doesn't even get a start.
He's been starting.
Normally it's what? Yeah, because Henderson's been injured. And also because Henderson's been injured. I'm sorry, Coquelin doesn't get in a team. He doesn't get in Spurs' team. He doesn't get in Man United's midfield either. He definitely doesn't get in Chelsea's. He doesn't get in Man City's. That's partly because they only play one midfielder who can defend. But he still doesn't get in ahead of Fernandinho or Fernando for me. And we're supposed to be challenging for a title. Now, if he's a squad player and he comes in for rotation and for cup games and things like that, fine. But he's first choice. Why is he first choice? It's ridiculous. I know a lot of people are very disappointed with Xhaka. And I have been disappointed with Xhaka as well since he's come because I think he's a good player and he's got a lot of promise and he's got a lot of ability. But at times he's been asked to be a DM and he's not a DM. And that's the manager's fault. Why has he not gone out and got someone to challenge Coquelin for his position? Or is he just saying,
we'll come on to that.
No. Or is he just saying, no, you know what, we'll just be fine and we'll just play our game and, you know, we won't change our style for any team we play against, which is basically what he's done. And I think some people in the chat are also, they're right as well, what they're saying. Santi did make him look very, very good. And he does. I think that's anyone who's ever played football, if you play with better people, you yourself will play better. And you'll think, you'll come off the pitch and go, oh, wow, I've never played that well before. I must be improving. Part of that is you've improved, but you've got better people around you. It makes you more comfortable. You feel more confident on the ball. I'm sorry, he's not good enough for the squad. And this is not you know, people singling him out just for someone to pick on. They're singling him out because he's making consistent errors in games over and over again and costing us chances. But I think we had, what, two shots or something in the first half? One of them's Coquelin. Why the fuck is he shooting? He's never scored a goal. Why is he that high up the pitch? Again, it comes that we've said this all season. Is it the manager telling him to do it, or is it him doing it? There's no reason for him to be in that team. I'm sorry. He's not good enough. If he was on the form he was when he came back from Charlton on loan, fair enough, he deserves a spot in the team. He doesn't. He does not deserve a spot in the team right now. He's not playing well enough. If he works hard and he improves again, fine, get back in the team, hard work. But you're not doing enough. It's typical, I'm one of Arsenal's favourites, I will not give up on this player. Well, that's a great mentality, but sorry, our league challenge comes first before developing a player or having faith in a player. Tough shit, this is not your pet project, this is Arsenal Football Club, we're supposed to be competing for things. And you're fucking around with it for your own little experiments, and it's really irritating. You have dug out Ramsey, for example, a lot this season, Chris.
Hmm.
Fair enough. He's putting some poor performances. Get on that. I don't have a problem with that. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But if you're allowed to dig out Ramsey, then everyone's allowed to dig out Coquelin.
Oh, I'm no, sorry.
Look at the things he's done this season, he does not deserve to be in a team. There is no defence. I don't understand how you can defend him. And I'm not saying it's all his fault, by the way, because it is not. It is it is the whole team. The whole team are not performing. But if you constantly put a player in midfield who cannot play with anyone else bar a man who is injured, that's the manager and that player is having a serious issue. Yes, the players around him are also to blame. But if that player consistently makes errors that leads to the opposition scoring goals and giving up chances and giving away free kicks in stupid areas, that's a problem. So he's going to get stick. Same as Monreal getting stick in games. Same as Iwobi, who's been getting a lot of stick lately for his performances.
No, I think you make some very valid points there, 100%. And I'm not going to blindly defend players. I think what I get sick of is the people that have got very, very short memories. And I also think that it's a very reactional viewpoint. I think a lot of people have jumped on, particularly onto this player in the second half of the season, sort of around Christmas time onwards is when it really seemed to crank up. And that's something I do have an issue with, because it's almost like saying, well, I think the manager clearly went into the start of the season thinking, well, we can deploy Coquelin in a higher role. We can change our style. We can change this pressing game. We can play him higher. Now, whether that's worked or not, and it clearly hasn't, I think that's what he went into the season with. Now, if we go through another summer, whether he, you know, if particularly if he does stay as manager, if we go into another summer and we don't address that situation by signing a Krychowiak or a Seri or, somebody else who can do that job, then I think then people have even more right to say, well, we've not addressed the situation. But to say that he's suddenly become a terrible player overnight, I just can't buy that. And I do think that some people, and again, I don't disagree with what you say, John, I do think some people do blindly just throw criticism at a player because they have to be critical. I do genuinely think some people don't think about the whole situation. There's some very intelligent people like yourself. God, I just called you intelligent. That's weird. Who make a very articulate view and have a very fair criticism. I think other people just blindly smash their keyboard with their forehead, which is the one I have the issue with, I guess.
Okay, well, just quickly before we bring the other guys in, like, one of the things I've heard you say about Ramsey is the season where he got all the goals and everything else, he was played in a different system with different players around him, but you said you thought it was more of a one-off than it is likely a consistent thing because he hasn't shown consistently since that. Albeit, yes, he has been in different systems and with different players, but he still hasn't put in those level of performances. fair to say then that Coquelin's actual level is what we're seeing now, which is why he took so long to put in a decent performance at Arsenal. And really that sort of 8 month period where he was playing what we considered exceptional. And don't forget, we're looking at this with very rose tinted glasses because we haven't had that type of midfielder for a very long time. The closest we've had to it was Alex Song. You know, do you not think perhaps that period of time where he was putting in those performances, everyone rated him way too highly, and this is actually more his real level, and that was a one-off?
No, I think that's an absolutely fair point. And I'd absolutely say the same thing about Ramsey. I think everyone went way too high over on Ramsey in that season. So, yeah, I think you've got a completely fair point. And we all overrate our players, don't we? Let's be honest. I mean, some people massively underrate players and some people massively overrate players. That's just opinions. You know, that can be said about anybody. I could sit here and tell you that players in the French league are the best in the world. You could tell me that the best in Italy is this. And other people could say, well, they're no Frank Lampard in England. So I think everyone has that sort of slightly overrated viewpoint. And I'll bring Josh in here at this point, because Josh, you wanted to say, and then I want to transition into Xhaka with Drew. So Josh, you wanted to just say something about the Coquelin debate. Are you sort of on the fence with it? Do you think people are being a bit reactionary?
No, I think the guy is way out of form compared to the last couple of seasons. His performances there, you know, is what kept him in the team, and he wasn't shipped off to somewhere in League Two, because up until that point he'd been awful for us and on loan. But I think the problem is a person in that position can find it very difficult to mask poor performances with good outcomes. So, for example, if we look back at the last couple of games, Alexis Sanchez, he has been awful. He scored, but he has not helped the team in any way, shape or form in build-up play. And he's gone about it doing the thing that he likes to do, being Billy Big Bollocks, saying, I want the ball now, losing it, shouting at teammates. He's been negative overall to the team. Yes, we've won games, or no, in the last couple of weeks we haven't, but it's players like that that they can find ways to mask a poor performance with a goal, with an assist, but someone like Coquelin can't. Because in that defensive role, you're expected to just be going quietly about your business. And if you do something wrong, it gets highlighted. If you do something great, we weren't saying anything about Coquelin when he was in form. We were just saying, isn't he doing great? Because we've not seen him. A bit like to bring up someone like Michael Carrick. If you don't see him playing, it's because he's doing a good job. And if he plays poorly, it's because you can see those because they lead directly to goals. Or coming straight back at our back four, which has been shaky. I think it's been shaky all season, to be honest. I think Mustafi was quite good when he first came in, but we didn't really keep many more clean sheets once he had joined us. So I think there's still a problem there with the back four that's playing behind Coquelin.
I personally think you make some very, very good points there. I really do. I think you make some excellent points. And that's kind of a nice way to transition into another player. And don't worry, chat, we will talk about Alexis in a minute, I promise. But Drew, you and John both saw a lot of Granit Xhaka, obviously in the Bundesliga. I'm not going to sit here and write off a player who's had, you know, 8 months with us. That would be silly. But there's two issues I have with Granit Xhaka this season. And again, like you guys, I saw enough of him to think he was a pretty decent signing at the time. He cost us 35 million quid there or thereabouts. I'm not going to get it down to the penny, but about 35 million quid. Nobody was in the bidding for us or with us, should I say. Nobody seemed to be interested other than us. There wasn't exactly a bidding war, shall we say. And so that's my first issue. We've overpaid. And my second issue is, as John quite rightly said, we're playing him out of position, but I keep hearing about how good his passing is, you know, how good an organizer he is and how good a force he is, and you know, and in the engine room and driving a team forward. His decision making at times for me is championship level. I really think it's that bad. Some of the decisions he makes during games, for me as a player, he seems to have gone backwards, and I'm not sure why. So Drew, is that fair criticism as a man who's watched him enough, or is it purely since he's come to Arsenal that he's been asked to change his game to an area that he's not comfortable in?
I think maybe both, but you know, John can back up on this. You know, Xhaka played in the midfield too at Gladbach, so the way he's being used isn't necessarily too dissimilar. He played next to Mahmoud Ahoud, who's very forward thinking, so Xhaka didn't really get a lot of support in midfield, and that was one of the problems that Gladbach had. You know, they finished fourth last season, but they surrendered over 50 goals, so the back four usually was left found wanting when, you know, because Xhaka likes to get forward as well, doesn't he? So when both your midfielders are constantly getting forward and your back four doesn't get support, you lead goals. So he's used to playing in the midfield too, but the difference is the approach that we play. You know, he's not very athletic. He can ping a very good long ball. He does have a good shot from distance. He's not like technically fantastic as a player, if you will, but we need to use him in a system that our system now exposes him more in a lot of his weaker areas than a system that highlights his strengths. You know, I've been saying for a while, I think if we brought Xhaka in, he can't, first of all, he cannot be the deepest player because he's not that defensively responsible. He's not quick enough to get back. As you saw for the third Liverpool goal, he struggled to track back with Lallana. Then once Lallana stopped and reset the play, he sort of just watched it all happen. He didn't try to reclose down Lallana again, and then he let the ball get played. So what was he doing? If he's so good defensively, what exactly was he doing at that moment in time? You know, in this match in particular, big match for us, he didn't win a single header, he never a single tackle or an interception in the amount of time he played today. He was arguably one of our worst players in a match where we need him to be one of our best players. And yes, if you look at the Swiss national team, he was the deepest player, and he played well against Albania and Romania, but then when they played Poland and France, he was exposed for the entire time. You cannot have Xhaka be the deepest player in the midfield too. He can be a midfielder who plays deep, but you need a defensive midfielder behind him to cover him, because if he gets burnt, he cannot track back and get back like N'Golo Kante, for example. So, and then going forward, if he does have the ball and we're playing a 4-3-3 that's more direct, that's more counterattack based, he is very, very good at pinging those diagonal balls, finding those runs ahead of him, and even getting forward and maybe even having a look at goal himself from outside the box. Those would highlight his strengths, but I don't think he gets a chance to do that enough. You know, I just think that, again, it's we bring players in, and instead of the manager looking at the team and saying, you know, here's the players that we have available, I need to taper our approach to maximize the effectiveness of my players, we don't do that. We force our players to fit into a system, even if the system doesn't work for them. And I think that has always been one of our biggest issues as a club. And until that gets fixed, the same thing is going to happen over and over again.
Yeah, some very good points. And I just want to leap to your defence before we go on to Alexis. I remember it well. Pre-season when we signed him, you copped an awful lot of flack on Twitter and indeed from some of our guys when you said, you know, this is probably not the signing you particularly wanted, that you had a lot of serious concerns about the fee we paid and about how excited everyone got. And you copped a lot of flack for that. I think it's only fair we address the balance and say that some of the points you made are perfectly valid now, and I'll hold my hands up and say I thought it was a very good signing at the time, but I have worries now that come in line to exactly what you said 8 months ago.
It's not that it was a poor signing, it's become a poor signing because we don't utilize him in a way that'll make him effective. I think John can agree on that. I think if you use Xhaka in a better way and in a better approach, then it becomes a better signing. I think it's been a poor signing because we're doing him a disservice to the ability that he does have. That's the issue. If you just tweak things to make it so he's not so exposed, if you give him some protection behind him, if you allow him to be creative, because he can be very, he created almost 3 chances a match per 90 minutes last season for Gladbach, in a side who aren't as adept at attacking as Arsenal are. So if you give him the tools to be successful, he will be successful. But you honestly, I think we hamstring him like we hamstring a lot of our players. So.
Yep. Yes. Some very good points. Very good points indeed. John, we should talk about in limited amount of time, but we should talk about Alexis as well. I'm very much, as Drew said, in the sort of preamble before we came live, I'm very much of the opinion that no player is bigger than a football club. I love Alexis Sanchez. I love Mesut Ozil. If they're not performing, if they're not training properly, if they are being, to quote Josh Billy Big Bollocks, you drop them. End of story. I don't care how good a player they are. That's what you do. If he was dropped today for disciplinary reasons, I don't have any issue with that whatsoever. If, however, he was dropped for reasons of a tactical nature, which I think the manager was sort of alluded to, I think it's fair to say it probably didn't really work. So,
not probably, it didn't work.
Well, it didn't, did it? Let's be honest. But I could see the thinking behind what happened. Really? But obviously, it didn't. Yeah, I could really. I could, because I was listening to a lot of people say...
Why couldn't you play Welbeck through the middle and Alexis on the left?
I think you could have, but I was listening to a lot of people last night basically saying, oh, Liverpool win this, it's guaranteed, blah, it's all over like every media source you could find. Liverpool are favourites, blah, blah. And I actually think he intended to go with more of almost like a front two, like Welbeck playing off of Giroud, and almost a flat four. And I think he tried to change the system a bit. It didn't work, clearly. You know, there's no defending that. But I do think he tried it. And I think our good friend Mr. Hollicks made a good point there. Starting Alexis or not wasn't such a contributing factor today. We've been poor in the first half since Christmas, and it's not even been when he started. That's the bigger issue. And I think he makes a good point there. On the Alexis thing, I mean, I know you were surprised he didn't start and were against the idea. What's your sort of thoughts on where he is? There's a lot of speculation going around this week about moving away and him
being... I want out. There's no point staying at the club. He's at the point of his career where if he wants to win things, he's getting to around sort of peak years. So it'll be your last sort of big contract. Why would you not want to be at a club that wins trophies? Arsenal don't win trophies. They don't challenge consistently for the two big trophies that they should be in for, the league and the Champions League. There's no point for him being at Arsenal.
I'm glad you caveated that by big trophies, because we have one trophy, but I know what you mean. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but it's not. I'm sorry. I love the FA Cup and I've got great memories of it, but it's not a big cup anymore. It's just not. If you said, do you really think Alexis Sanchez cares about winning the FA Cup? I don't think you could give him monkeys about it, to be perfectly honest.
He should, though, shouldn't he? I mean, does
no, I'm not saying he doesn't want to win it. Of course he wants to win it, but he wants to win the league and he wants to win the Champions League. He went to Arsenal because he thought he could win the Premier League and he could win the Champions League. He looks around and he consistently sees players who are not performing, getting picked, playing week in, week out, bad tactics. I'm not saying Alexis is above criticism or not, and he has been poor in recent games, and he does give the ball away, and he does make bad decisions, and he got, the sort of reaction he has when he doesn't get the ball and things like that is bad, and it's annoying, and I don't like any of that. But if you want the very, very best players, you have to be able to offer them the chance to challenge for a league title and challenge for the Champions League. It's either that or you offer them so much money that they don't care. And we're not in a position to be like Man United and offer players 300 grand a week. So you have to compete for and, you know, give them a chance to win a title. You talked about, like, we don't know if it was disciplinary or not, the decision to not start him today. Well, if it's disciplinary, then he shouldn't be in the squad for a start. If you want to discipline a player, you don't pick him at all. I'll throw a manager's name out just to wind the chat up. I'll throw out Massimo Allegri's name because he had a big row with Bonucci and didn't even take him for the Porto game. Said, no, you're not in the squad. That's it, you're out. Binned him out of the squad. He had to, you know, find him, and then he had to come back in afterwards. And he put his team at risk, and he said Bonucci has caused the team a problem, but he has to be disciplined. That's how you've got to treat it. You know,
shout for the defence of that then. Because in my opinion, if you drop a player and you leave him on the bench for all the TV cameras to see, that makes more of a statement than leaving a player out. Because
he wasn't even on the bench. He was out of the squad.
I agree. But you know what Arsene Wenger's like. He would never leave a player out. If he left Alexis out of the squad today, he would have said, oh, he's carrying a bit of an injury. Because that's what he does.
Okay.
I agree, Allegri would tell all the truth. But
which means, for me, it's not a discipline issue. It's not. He hasn't been disciplined, and that's not why he's on the bench. He's on the bench because Arsene thinks that's genuinely the best way to approach the game, which for me, it's not. You've taken Oxlade-Chamberlain, put him out on the right wing when he's been performing very, very well in centre mid, which is an area we know we're going to have to compete in. You've got the opportunity now to play free in midfield in a very big game where we need to get a result. You know that midfield is going to be the tight area. No Ozil, so you don't have to worry about making an excuse or anything. You can leave the Ox in midfield. He could have played Coquelin, Xhaka and Ox in midfield today as a midfield three. And Xhaka and Ox could have rotated as to which one's going forwards. You could have then played Walcott on the right, real pace, pins back Milner. Milner's not going to get forward so much. Links up well with Bellerin. You could have played Perez. Where the fuck is Lucas Perez? Giza cannot get a game.
Don't open you that could have box played again. Alexis
from the start. It's ridiculous. I'm joking. No reason. All these things contribute over and over again. And if you are a player of Alexis Sanchez's level, and you see that you are sat on the bench, and I love Alex Iwobi, and I think he's going to be a blinding player. He's terrific, the kid, but he's knackered. He's played too much this season. He needs to be taken out of the team for a bit. And you see him playing, you know, maybe Alexis doesn't mind. But in my head, that's going to piss me off. I'm like, why the fuck am I not playing? This is a game we need to win. It's 2-0 at half-time. Oh, the boss is chucking me on now because he's desperate to win. The boss has made a mistake. I'm smarter than him. But it doesn't make the players in the team look at Arsene Wenger and go, he's a smart man, he knows what he's doing. Do you think the players are on the pitch? Do you think they would have rather had Alexis on from the start with them? Because I bet you they would have. Because you could see how much better they looked as soon as he came on the pitch. It just gives them a list. They're all of them constantly. They get the ball. They're looking to give him the ball because they know he's going to do something with it. First time he gets the ball, makes a chance. Welbeck nearly scores. Sets the goal up for Welbeck. Brilliant ball. Brilliant finish. Right, as much as he's annoying, and he annoys the fuck out of me, and Josh is right, he has been performing badly lately, but you can't drop him for a game like this. You want to drop him for Lincoln.
There's no reason to not play him today.
There is no reason to drop him today. I'm sorry, it's stupid. Love Giroud, think he's great. Why not go out, attack Liverpool, hit him on the break, use pace, we've got buckets of it. Then you get the goal in front and whatever. You don't do what we've done, which is concede goals. Then we've got to attack. Liverpool got space to exploit behind us. You go, exploit the space that they're leaving behind them. You get the goal in front. You can bring Giroud late on. You can hit the long ball. He holds it up, runs the channel, takes it to the corner flag, gets you possession, moves you higher up the pitch. It's not complicated football. Everyone's talking about it all week. It's so obvious. And he just doesn't respect the opposition. And leaving Sanchez out of the team is ridiculous. What the fuck is going on with Mesut Ozil? I've got no idea. The bloke's out bowling with all the teammates and everything. And the next day goes training. Oh, he's a bit ill. What third winter break he's having this season?
Can I chime in with that? Someone mentioned in the chat before, and I completely forgot this because my older brother is huge into basketball and he was a huge Michael Jordan fan. I remember Michael Jordan played in an NBA final with the flu, full on flu, and scored 40 points. Why is Ozil constantly using his sickness or whatever as an excuse? Your best players need to play through the sickness. I've played through sickness before. I've also played with sprained ankles before. It doesn't matter. You play.
Cesc Fabregas scored a penalty with a broken leg, for fuck's sake.
Exactly. You play. Your best players, they have to sacrifice themselves for the team at times. I think it's that simple. And when Ozil needs to be one of those focal points, he is a very, very, very good player. Say what you will about the defensive side of the game if you want, or how lethargic he can be, sure. But he is a fantastic player. And if he's one of our, he's been one of the key signings we've made to build a success around. If he's saying, oh, I don't feel well, I don't want to play today, what does that say about everything? Not just about him as a player, but what does that say about the manager then? Because if he comes back into the team when he's quote unquote better, then the manager's not putting his foot down and saying, you know, you have to be here even when you're sick, so I'm not going to play you again. I think, as John said, the Lincoln match would be a perfect result, perfect time for that. I don't know. It's just so many questions as usual.
I think the Ozil thing for me, that does fall on Arsene because I think Arsene absolutely adores Mesut Ozil, and I genuinely think if Mesut Ozil comes in and has a sniffle, I think Arsene goes, oh, you're not sounding great. Do you know what? You go home. We'll be fine. I think Arsene maybe is a little bit.
He's too scared to drop him.
Maybe Arsene
actually thought, you know, I do need to play for him in midfield today, and I can't really afford to have Ozil, so I need to make an excuse.
But don't make an excuse. Just say we needed to meet three in midfield today, so I'm not.
He won't do that. He can't dig out his favorite player.
I know, but that's the point. But it's not digging him out. It's saying he won't work. And it's just I want to play. Just be like, he doesn't fit what we need today. I'm not going to play him. No, I know you do. I know you agree because we've had this talk before. I'm just saying in general. I hate the fact that that that's the way he handles things. You're not offending a player by saying what we need to do today doesn't suit what we need from him, so he's not playing.
Mm.
That's
do
just
so make a sacrifice for your team by not starting
exactly.
the game.
Exactly. And if he gets offended by that, then I'll tell you what, as usual, then your players are too fucking pampered.
Yeah.
And excuse the French, but they're professional players. They need to understand that. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just won't get selected for any number of reasons.
I tell you what, as well, if I'm Alexis Sanchez, I'm sitting down next to Lucas Perez and saying, do you want to come with me? Because you're never playing here. Because Arsenal couldn't give a fuck what you do in an Arsenal shirt. You could score 10 goals next week. He's not going to pick you. He's not interested in the bloke at all. Doesn't matter what he does.
This is the name because
I think you wanted to sign him in the first place. I really don't.
Yeah. That's fair enough. That happens. I'm not convinced, to be perfectly honest, that he wanted Elneny either. I think that was done by the stat company that we bought that Gazidis was sort of more into than Arsene was.
But he didn't want Welbeck. Welbeck plays for us. If you're good enough, you will come in. Lucas Perez isn't good enough for us.
He doesn't offer enough
for the team, I think.
I agree, Josh.
Same thing as Alexis. He's too selfish.
The not wanting Welbeck thing, I think, is a little bit misleading because he was happy to have him on loan. He didn't want to buy him. There's a difference. But he wasn't convinced in him, obviously, enough to buy him at the time. And he's changed his mind. Lucas Perez, he just never wanted at all. He's now bought him. Every time Perez plays, he performs.
But if he's that good, and this is, and again, I don't want to turn this into a bashing again, and I want to keep it on Alexis because I definitely want to get Josh's thoughts on this. But just to draw a quick line under Lucas Perez, if he was that good, why would why were Everton and West Brom linked with a Deportivo La Coruña centre forward?
I didn't know that much about him. I told you. I said this the other day.
And that says it all, John, doesn't it?
No, yeah, that's great. But what do you do if you're a manager? Your job is to win football games. So what do? You pick the players who are performing to the best ability. Who is performing the best at the moment? Lucas Perez is one of those players. Alex Iwobi is not that player. Fucking Oxlade-Chamberlain has been one of our best centre mids since he's been moving into that position. Why are you putting him out on the fucking right wing? Alexis Sanchez is our best player. Yes, he hasn't been performing well, but you know he's going to do something. I'll put him on the fucking bench.
Liverpool, what do they leave?
Acres of space in behind. I'll start with Giroud up front. Not Giroud's fault he can't run very fast. He's just that type of player. Poor Giroud didn't touch the ball. Fucking Simon Mignolet touched the ball more than Giroud did in the first half. And we barely had a shot.
Because of the service. Because of the service.
And that's, and that, again, I'm not digging at Giroud. That is not his fault. But why play him in the game? I'm sorry. It's so obvious what the front three... There's so many different players you could pick for that front three, and Giroud is not one of them. It's complete bullshit. If Perez leaves, fair enough. He deserves to actually play football because he's proved that he was doing it in a good team. He was linking up, integrating well, very quickly as well. You know how hard it is for a player to come in from a different league, at that age, it's a big, big change in his life. And he's come in and he's proved that he's showing really good in league play with lots of different players at the club very quickly, very good understanding. Doesn't get a chance. It's like I didn't like Joel Campbell. I wasn't a big fan of his.
Really?
Started playing more and more regular. put in great performances, didn't he? But the manager don't like him, so no, we're not going to have him. We'll play people constantly who are not going to perform. If Arsene doesn't like Perez and, when Arsene signs a new contract, fine, sell him in the summer, get rid of him. But this summer, your job is to win football games. So pick the fucking players that are performing, not cunts who are going to go up there, fucking run around and do bollocks all. I said I weren't going to get angry, so I'm done now.
I want to get Josh's view on the Alexis thing before we take questions and wrap up. But just one other thing I want to mention as well with the Perez thing, all this. It's funny how, and this, I'm not defending Arsene Wenger before anyone jumps all over this. It's funny how Jose Mourinho can cut off his players in the press and it's apparently good management or chooses not to play like a Luke Shaw, who was apparently, the future of England's left-back spot. He doesn't play them, or he doesn't play Anthony Martial, and apparently that's good management. Yeah, Arsene Wenger doesn't play Lucas Perez because he doesn't deem to be that good, and it's terrible management. It is a funny old world in support base. That's my only view on that, and trust me, I'm not giving Mourinho credit because that would make me feel a bit ill. Josh, I want you to have your say because you've been quiet. Well, you've tried to come in, haven't you? But John's been on his happy pills.
That's why I don't go on the main pod with hipsters that never get a word in edgeways.
Never guess what it is. Go on, you have the floor.
I was going to have questions. A thing on Ozil. It wasn't on Alexis because I think I've said everything. He looked mentally jaded, and I was happy he was sitting on the bench because you know he wasn't resting over 12 days. He was probably running up the Himalayas with his dogs. But just play devil's advocate. What happens if Ozil did have the flu? And what he's actually doing is he was sent home as a containment because 2 days before the game goes in, he then strikes the team down because he sneezes in the lasagna.
see what you did there.
Yeah, that was. What I did think though, looking at the game, was Iwobi looks a lot more combative as a number 10 compared to Mesut Ozil.
Agreed.
Who does also look like the sickly kid that was at school. That's why I'd assume he's had the flu 3 times this year. But it's just really. I think we missed Ozil more today than we missed Alexis in the starting lineup, just because I think he's better at ticking over possession. Alexis is very direct. That's what we love about him. But I think Ozil would have kept Liverpool quiet more often by just being able to play that pass more cutely through their midfield because they were just running at us and everybody was scared shitless. That's why they were happy Alexis came on because it gave them an option to pass it to someone. They can sit back and go, well, I've done my bit. I've given it to Alexis because he's not going to pass it back to me. Unless for some reason I'm making maybe a good run and he might pass it, but 9 times out of 10, he's going to try and go for the top corner and take the glory for himself. So I think Alexis coming on is kind of a double-edged sword, you know, good in one way, but also poor because of how he's going.
Yeah, I do. It is funny, isn't it? Like, I didn't actually notice too many people talking about how much we miss Mesut today, which is, I don't know whether that's a good thing, a bad thing, whether people are just too focused on how miserable they were in general. I don't know. But it did seem to be conspicuous by his absence on the on the talk of the town, so to speak. But yeah, okay. Well, what we will do is we'll take some questions now to wrap up. I do want to get out of here in about 10 minutes. So I'm just going to give everyone a heads up on that now because I've got things to do. John, you're forgiven. If anyone has any quick questions, I'll try and get some quick fire answers out of the panel. So stick them in the chat. John, you've actually got a question from WhatsApp. There's a new one for you. I tried to avoid this, Fanny, but unfortunately somebody called Neil Robbins has asked me to ask you something. So I'm going to. He wanted to say, rumours are gaining pace that this summer will be Wenger's last season, and the list of replacements in the media keep pointing heavily towards one, and that being Serie A regular resident, Mr. Allegri. Obviously, you know a bit about it, so he just wants to know, with that being said, why is your beard so weak?
Well, it's a contentious issue, really. It didn't have a great start to the season. We got to January, decided to chuck it in a transfer, got a new one in. And now it's at that awkward stage where it's at the stick or twist point, really. It's not really performing there. It's not top four quality. So come the summertime, it might have to go. And I might have to think a new approach and just go for a 70s tash.
Okay.
But thanks, Neil. Good. Nice to hear from you.
Yes, and very quickly, I presume if Arsene did decide to drift away, he would be your choice, I presume, just out of interest.
He's one of, yeah, definitely. I really like Allegri. He's very good, tactically very clever. He's lots of pictures. Some fucking idiot journalist, I can't remember his name, not Collins, someone else, said that all Allegri is doing is just taking a Conte team and carrying it on. It's complete and utter bollocks. He's actually made them a very good European side, which they weren't, to be honest, under Conte. Conte's record in Europe isn't great. And he's changed a lot of things there. They can change tactics in the game. They're very disciplined. They know everyone knows their jobs. They'll work very hard. Paulo Dybala is a wonderful forward, but he's also an amazing tracking back, making tackles on the edge of his own box and spring and attack kind of player as well, and that's just what Allegri gets out of them. So if he was to come in, I'd be very happy with it, but you'd need director of football and new negotiators and things like that as well, and all around him. I just want him to manage the team. I don't want him to do everything else.
Yeah, agreed. And of course, Alan Pardew is Bookie's favourite.
Pardew, yeah, I'd take Pardew today. That'd
or Harry Redknapp, he'd be a good upgrade, wouldn't he?
Pardew would be good. You'd go out for a beer afterwards with Pardew, though, couldn't you? Have a good chat.
You could. Many beers and a few shots, a few Jager bombs, a few WKDs, and a few hookers and a line of cocaine, allegedly.
And then bottle him because he's a cunt.
Exactly. There you go. Perfectly summed up. Right. We haven't got too many questions. So I'm just going to pick out these two because they're quite good. You can have this one, Josh. Carl Palmer. Do you think leaving Alexis out was a power play with the contract talks going on? And if so, did this backfire spectacularly?
I'll make it quick. No.
I can see the point, though, Kyle. I can see the point. Yeah. And he has done this before, of course, with Wiltord and others. So, yeah, it does make you wonder if something went on, doesn't it? And by the way, for all those people that I saw a few people in various bits and bobs on Twitter saying that Alexis was smirking when he was on the bench. Have a day off, for fuck's sake. Seriously. People read so much into the fact, like, did he really know the camera was on him at that particular point? And I don't actually think he smirked. He's just got this, I don't know if you've looked at Alexis, he does this weird thing with his lips every once in a while. I don't know what it is. He sort of does this weird...
I think he was just sharing a joke with Gabriel about saying, wasn't
exactly,
he?
Exactly, yeah. He was just talking to somebody. It's like, you know, players, just because players are, just because a team's losing, don't get me wrong, I don't like my players having a real sing-song and a laugh and a joke when the team's behind, but, you know, they're individuals. They have lives. They are allowed to talk to each other.
The only times you'll see a player laugh on the bench is whoever the second-choice goalkeeper is laughing at the first-choice goalkeeper letting in a howler.
That's also true, yes. Yeah. Whilst making a food udon, sticking pins in it. Drew, you can have this one from our very own Mr. Hollick. Do we play a squad team against Bayern rather than risk injuries to key players for the Premier League and FA Cup? It's a good question.
I think so. I mean, I've spoken before on numerous platforms that there's no possible way we're going to go out and somehow reverse the scoreline from the first leg in Munich. It's just not going to happen. I just think you play some of the kids, you give them the experience of a Champions League night, you know, we still have to put in a good performance, sure, but do you really risk a full-strength team against a Bayern side who haven't let in 4 goals in the last 2.5 years? So it's just no point. Like, just understand that you're out of it now, you know, play players who, you know, want to give them that effort and then just move on and understand that you just have to target a maximum effort in the league and FA Cup for sure.
Mm. On the flip side, of course, a good performance and a strong side and even any sort of pride restoring victory could be
no.
Come on, just making a case of the defence, Drew.
Shut it. No.
I'm with you, even the eternal optimist that I am. I know Jace went full Neuer on the podcast last week and said we win 4-0. I don't even think Jace believes that. So,
Jace is definitely drunk and having a laugh, clearly. Like,
yeah. I do actually think we'll win on... Is it Tuesday? I think it's Tuesday. I do actually think we'll probably win, but I think it'll be the classic. I think John said this. It'll be like the 3-0 just to get our hopes up and then we'll crash out.
Always bet on the heroic exit, the one goal short of what we need, something like that. It's like every season, isn't it?
Yep.
Either that, or we'll be in a position where we have the game of our lives. We 4-0 up with a minute to go, and then concede off Ospina's arse or something. It'll all go horribly wrong. But yeah, we have to laugh because you'd cry if you didn't. So okay. I think that'll do us, to be honest. There's a few bits and bobs going through the chat, but we'll be back. There'll be other times, boys and girls. You can always tweet us. I've had lots of abuse today, which is always good fun, so thank you all. It's all in good nature. I don't take it to heart, but when you go to sleep at night, just know that I sit in a corner, a rock side to side, and occasionally hit myself over the head with items of blunt instrumentage. So, yeah, that's all on you lot. It's all on you. No, it's not really, of course. We do appreciate all the comments and clicks and whatnot. If you like what we do, if you wouldn't mind giving us a thumbs up, that would be lovely, because it makes Danny happy. And a happy Danny is a happy ABW family, let me tell you. So if you do like what we do, click there. If you don't, fair enough, no worries. You can join us when you like. You can turn off when you like. Everyone has their favourites. I'm not comfortable with the amount of love John's getting at the moment. Makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. So, you know, if you could sort of maybe give John some stick, that'd be lovely.
Beard's not that shit.
No, I'm joking, of course. But no, it's always good to have different views, and that is why we do what we do. We're not going to mash each other off on this podcast because it's not what we do. So if you like that kind of thing, you know where to go. Right, we'll leave it there. Many thanks to John, to Drew, and to Josh. Thank you very much, all.
Thank you. Thinking of Mr. Hillwood's liver.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Pray for Steve, everyone. Pray for Steve. But yes, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Danny, for not getting out of bed. We appreciate it. No, we love you really, Danny. And John is usually a cunt. Sorry, I had to read that one out. So we'll
very
be back.
True.
We'll be back after Bayern Munich on Tuesday. Either that or we'll throw each other off a bridge. So until then, we'll speak to you very soon. This has been ABW Radio. Keep it Arsenal, and we'll speak to you very soon.
Lord, with my live grenade, 'cause